When last we spoke with choral composer Eric Whitaker, he was conducting choirs in cyberspace, singers from around the world uploading videos that were then mixed into one glorious performance. This is 3,700 singers performing his Water Night, his third virtual choir. But Eric Whitaker also conducts his own professional group, the Eric Whitaker Singers. They're featured on the CD Light and Gold, which won a Grammy in 2012 for Best Choral Performance. That's the Eric Whitaker Singers performing Leonardo Dreams of His Flying Machine. They're doing a quick tour of the U.S. this week, and Eric Whitaker joins us from the Clean Cut Studios in Maryland. Eric, welcome back.
It's so good to be back. Thank you.
You know, we talk a lot about choral music with my former high school choir director, Ron Cohen. Do as he does. You know, try to take us into that intimacy. What is it about being a choral director standing right there in front of your choir?
It's the most incredible feeling. First, it all begins with the breath. I raise my hands and we all breathe at the same time. That moment for me always is the most electric. And then as soon as the sound comes out, the singers, they sing with such purity that the sound, it's got a shimmer to it, a spin. I always feel like I'm surfing in it. It's an ecstatic experience for me.
A great choir, Eric, because I mentioned that because there was a little bit of a kerfuffle recently in 2010, actually, I think, when Gramophone magazine came out with the top choirs in the world, and in the top 20 there were no U.S. choirs, and you actually wrote an essay at that time. Here you are, born in Reno, Nevada. You wrote an essay about, you know, why the British choirs are best at it.
Well, I would love the chance to explain the article a little bit. So Gramophone came to me and said, "We know that you love British choirs. Will you write about why you love them?" And then when the publication came out, the headline was, "Why British Choirs Are Best"
by Eric Whitaker. I'm looking right at it.
Yeah, exactly. And in no way did I write that headline, or would I ever write that headline. I have fondness for singers all over the world.
Okay, so we settled that, you know, nasty choir fight
you know,
that was going on at the time. But you do applaud British choirs for things like their tuning. What do you mean by that?
If they're singing a C, it's a C in the exact center of the pitch. And the women in England are trained to sing so that they sound like boy sopranos, with really no vibrato, with the cleanest, purest tone. For my music, which has a lot of close harmonies, you get this, it's just this vibration when they're singing together. It's like nothing I've ever experienced.
And then you also say sight reading, that the Brits are possibly the greatest sight readers. I'm thinking that, yes, we still have people coming up in churches, and yes, in some schools, but with the music programs being cut, one of the things we seem to be losing is sight reading.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be such an emphasis on it here in the States, in England more so. And I think because many of these choristers start very young, and they're singing nearly every day in church. And oftentimes they have to sing 45 minutes worth of music on 30 minutes worth of rehearsal. And so they become very adept at it. But all of that being said, I have to say, one of the things that American choirs do so well is change styles at the flip of a switch. We can go from singing a genuine Southern spiritual to Palestrina really with relative ease. And for the Brits, it's not so easy.
I want to show some of that diversity with your choir. What should we hear?
Something like the Alleluia, which is from the disc Water Night.
Okay, let's listen. And by the way, you say in the liner notes that you've resisted using texts that could be used in a liturgical context, but changed your mind and wrote Alleluia. What happened?
Yeah, I was raised in Northern Nevada, a-religiously, not as an atheist, but really with no exposure at all to religion. And when I began my residency at Cambridge University in England, and actually attending these services and hearing for the first time a full Latin Vespers, for instance, I was able to separate the dogma from just the wisdom, the humanity of the poetry, of the ritual and the beauty of the words. And I was intoxicated. I wanted to write about it. And Alleluia, which simply means praise God or praise Yahweh, I just found it the perfect word, just this, to create a fountain of praise with music.
Eric Whitaker, as we mentioned before, your wife is a singer and sings on another piece of music that you wrote, music to Goodnight Moon. This is perhaps one of the most beloved books ever. I understand you've read it to your son hundreds of times.
Yes, I have a 7-year-old son now, but since I can remember, before he was even a year old, I started reading it to him. So did my wife. And I personally must have read it 500 times. It was, I don't know, the 250th reading that it just started sounding like poetry to be set to music. And my wife, who's a soprano, I could hear her voice in my head. What's nice now is it's kind of become our family song. Sometimes my son will sing it in the bathtub, and it's our piece in a way.
Good night.
That's Grammy Award-winning singer Hila Plitman, who also happens to be the wife of Eric Whitaker, singing his Goodnight Moon, theirs, I should say, off his CD, Water Night. Eric, I'm just wondering, we've asked you about this in the past, people have worried about the future of, you know, the standard choir. You say...
There are so many people who just love to sing. They just love to sing, and they love to sing together. What we're experiencing on the web is this explosion of interest and many, many people wanting to be a part of it, even if it's the virtual choir. The thing that we're fighting against is exactly what you were talking about, which is local administrations, school administrations deciding to cut music from their programs, which I think is a crime. But the good news is the beating heart of it, the desire to sing, has never been bigger.
Well, you mentioned your virtual choir. You have a concert for July and a Kickstarter campaign. Tell us what's going on. Virtual Choir 4.
The virtual choirs now have become so expensive that we need to fund them. So we started a Kickstarter campaign, and we raised $122,000 for Virtual Choir 4, which we're guessing will probably have more than 10,000 singers.
Wow.
The premiere of it will be at Buckingham Palace this year at concerts celebrating the Queen's 60th coronation.
Hmm. But meantime, Eric Whitaker may be in your town. We'll link you to the brief tour of his, brick-and-mortar choir, his real-in-the-flesh choir, the Eric Whitaker Singers is making of the U.S. this week at hearandnow.org. Eric Whitaker, thanks so much.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Here Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again. Here Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.